The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
American prosperity is the bedrock of freedom and security all over the world.
An obligation to the heritage of liberty and dignity handed down to us by our forefathers.
It's time for the Pro-America Report with Ed Martin on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's Ed Martin here on the Pro-America Report. We've got some great guests coming up this week, including, I'm not sure if we'll do the interview today or not. We'll play it. Joseph Massey, a poet who was canceled by the politically correct cancel culture and a very successful poet. He's now, he was interviewed on Tucker Carlson's show, Megyn Kelly's show. He's a successful poet and he survived that. It's a very interesting story. We'll talk with him. Also, we'll get an update from Pam Fichter either today or tomorrow on what is happening in Missouri, the great show me state, the pro-life state, the Missouri miracle, so-called by Bridget Van Means to eliminate abortion in Missouri. Well, they got one of these ballot initiatives coming, and so we'll talk with Pam Fichter. So here's what I want to tell you, what you need to know today. First of all, thank you to many of you who tuned in to my Rumble TV show, The Pro America Report, every live. It's going to be live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern time. We're going to do that show live, kind of like what you get here, including the wink, including some interviews. Yesterday, Jeff Clark, also Paul Ingracia, a lot to do, a lot of people to talk to. It's right down the block from the Capitol, so we expect to get lots of folks who are paying attention on Capitol Hill to come right down the way, a couple of blocks away, and go in studio at the Rumble DC studio. Pretty cool. So, but here's what you need to know today. You are watching a concerted effort by the powers that be to try to get us to stop talking about abortion. Not even stop doing something. They want us to stop talking about abortion. Now, I have said publicly, I think that Donald Trump did a very admirable job of communicating what his political positions are and how he thinks he can win and succeed when it comes to abortion. He is somebody who has to win an election. Now, I believe abortion is wrong. I believe that life begins at conception. I believe that you shouldn't have abortion in our community. We certainly shouldn't have Planned Parenthood receiving hundreds of millions of dollars. What you need to know is you're watching the media, the moderates, the devil, try to get us to stop talking about abortion, let alone do something about it. Arizona, in the last 36 hours, the Supreme Court of Arizona looked back at the law from the 1800s which banned abortion in the state. And they said, well, if that law was passed, and it was, if that law is clear, and it is, then it bans abortion in Arizona. And the bar, the limitation on passing a ban to abortion was Roe v. Wade, which was created out of whole cloth in 1973. And so reasonable, serious judges said in Arizona, well, that ban still stands. And now there's politicians and others that want to say, hey, let's change that. Let's, you know, make exceptions, whatever. That's a different conversation. You can have that conversation. That's a preference. That's a policy preference. That's a set of issues that you can take up. But here's what you can't do. Don't tell me to stop talking about abortion. Don't tell me that because you don't think it's a winner politically, I'm supposed to stop talking about abortion. I want to talk about the fact that Planned Parenthood receives $700-800 million a year to do abortion. I want to talk about the fact that we don't have enough support for young women and young men, families, fathers should be in this loop, to stand up and do the right thing. I want to say abortion is wrong. I want to say, what do you think the consensus in Arizona was 140 years ago when they passed the ban on abortion. It was that the killing is wrong. We're going to talk, Pam Fichter is in Missouri, about the fact that their Planned Parenthood is spending tens of millions of dollars across the country to put on the ballot in 2024 these misleading ballot initiatives that talk about women's health services. Meanwhile, we're waiting for the annual report of Planned Parenthood anytime now. They're supposed to be out by now, but it's not. When last year's report came out, an independent analysis of it said, oh, yeah, they're not spending as much money on health services. They're spending more money on abortion. In other words, let's find out what these Planned Parenthood efforts are doing. And why is it that Planned Parenthood is spending tens of millions of dollars on ballot initiatives? Why do you think that is? Because they make money. The system makes money, and the system supports the politicians who are on that side. It used to be that you could be a pro-life Democrat. You can't anymore. You can't anymore. You are not allowed. Daniel Lipinski, is that how you say his name? Daniel Lipinski, a congressman from Illinois, was beaten in the primary, Democrat primary, by a Democrat endorsed by Pelosi, AOC, everybody else, because Daniel Lipinski was pro-life. And he was unabashed about it. Not anymore. Not anymore. It's not allowed. Now, you can say what you want about the Republican Party, and we should. Why does the Republican Party fund abortion? Why doesn't the Republican Party do more? Why doesn't all these people that say they're pro-life, Paul Ryan, he was Speaker of the House. He was pro-life. He didn't do anything. He didn't do anything meaningful. He didn't step up to the plate. All these politicians don't step up to the plate. But here's my point. Don't be fooled into stopping talking about abortion. The reality is, the more we talk about abortion as killing, the more we talk about the specifics of late-term abortion in particular, which the Democrats support, the more people say, yeah, I don't want that. And they're willing to do something. There was a study, I cited it for years. I got to go find it again. There was a study out of Harvard, I think it was, that any time that the argument was, I'm not saying it's definitively proven. I'm saying the argument was this. Anytime you file pro-life legislation, even just file it, in other words, it's, I'm talking about the state level, especially at the state level, the argument is that you reduce the number of abortions because you're having a conversation about exactly what's going on. You're not just glossing over it. Well, that's what we should do. That's what we should do. And if the conversation is, well, should there be a federal ban? And the consensus is that there shouldn't. I disagree. I disagree with the consensus. I would like to see U.S. senators and U.S. congressmen and women elected to office who would say, let's ban abortion. But if we don't have it yet, we can still have a conversation about it. And more importantly, if this is going back to the states, in each of these states, there should be strong conversations. In Vermont, if you want to have abortion up until the 9 month of birth, have at it. I don't think they want that, but they can, if they want to, they can. And in Texas, if you want to protect life from the very beginning, you can. That's the beauty of the system now. But let's be clear. For those of us that think that it's murder, we shouldn't be silenced. We shouldn't be told, oh, you made progress already, therefore be quiet. No way. And let me be very clear. That doesn't mean I'm arguing that politicians, candidates for office, have to take every position that I think they should. Their job is to get elected. And their job when they get into office is to do what they said they're going to do and their values are going to set. But I'm not arguing. I'm just saying, don't make me be silent. Don't make pro-lifers be silent. We should be raising the voices even louder, and we should be making more arguments even more persuasively. We should be talking about the family, motherhood, fatherhood. We should be talking about how can we incentivize and protect people who want to have families. Can we incentivize it through the tax code? Can we protect the women because through the system of healthcare? The fact is that if you're poor, if you're low income, below a certain level, you get free healthcare, 100% free. They can't deny that. If you're middle class, well, you have to have some healthcare. You have to pay something. Maybe we should be talking about whether we can have any pregnancy covered. I'm not sure we can afford it. I mean, we certainly can't afford it when we're spending tens of billions of dollars, John Podesta moving money around to green organizations There's a green initiative in the Inflation Reduction Act, that boondoggle. It's hundreds of millions of dollars. It's actually tens of billions of dollars that are being distributed by John Podesta to nonprofits who are promoting climate change. Promoting efforts to fight climate change. That's just a transfer of wealth from you and me to left-leaning groups. It happens the same thing with Planned Parenthood. But maybe we can't afford to pay for every single pregnancy, every single procedure. Maybe not. I don't know. But we ought to have the conversation. I would rather pay for that than I would for more windmills and the Carnahan family making money off of windmills. That's what happened in Missouri 15 years ago. The reality is we should be talking more about life. The reality is, and what you need to know is, we need to be talking more about life persuasively, seriously, with ideas, a vision for the future, win the hearts and minds, push the policies all around us. Don't be fooled. Every single day that there are stories and conversations about abortion as killing and about what it means is an opportunity. Opportunity to find avenues to protect life. Opportunity to find ways to stop the killing. That's what you need to know. All right, we got to take a break and be right back. Ed Martin here on a Pro America Report. Don't forget, visit ProAmericaReport.com. Sign up there for all our emails. Be right back. Pro America Report, Ed Martin. Welcome back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Well, you heard me ranting a little bit when I was saying that, of course, the media and all the politicians want us to stop talking about abortion. It's too upsetting. It's going to upset somebody, some famous swing voter or whatever. I reject that completely. The more you talk about the fact that there is killing among us, the better it is for stopping killing. And so you have to be kind of fearless about that. And there is one woman I know for many, many years, Pam Fichter. She's been fearless about being both a communicator and a leader on the pro-life issue, on opposing abortion. She now is the chairman of the Eastern Region of Missouri Right to Life. She's also been one of the top people at Missouri Right to Life for years, but she's sort of supposed to be halfway retired. I don't believe it, but she and her husband, Tom, have been slogging away for many years. And she was emailing me saying, hey, you want to check this out? We'll talk about Missouri leading in the fight, not hiding from the fight, but leading in the fight against abortion and against the Planned Parenthood and others who are putting these ballot initiatives out. So she joins us now. Pam, how are you? Welcome to the program.
I'm just fine, Ed. It's so great to talk to you.
Well, thank you. And so tell me, our listeners are all across the country, especially our Eagle leaders. Explain, they did it in Ohio. They did it in Kansas. They come along and spend gazillions of dollars to basically lie to the people in a state about, oh, you should vote for this. It'll be better for you. What are they doing in Missouri? Give us the lay of the land and specifically how the approach to fight back against this is working.
Well, I'll tell you, Missouri's got a big target on our back because I think, you know, Missouri's not the show me state. It's the show me life state. Missouri is right. The first state to ban abortion after the Dobbs decision. And it's because of the work of pro-life people and Missouri Right to Life that we passed 52 pro-life laws in the last 50 years to protect unborn children and their mothers and to give real choices to women in crisis pregnancies. So they would love to come after Missouri. So what they've done here is they are proposing the most extreme measure that's ever been proposed in any state. And they basically want to enshrine a right to unlimited, unrestricted abortion in our state constitution that would allow for abortion up to birth, even dismemberment abortions. They want to eliminate parental consent for minors. They want taxpayer funding for abortions. They even are opening the door to non-medical people doing abortions. It's truly the most extreme measure ever proposed. And of course, they have a lot of big money supporters from out of state. And they're lying to people. Right now, they're gathering signatures to get on the ballot. And they're telling people it's just about women's health and about women being able to make decisions. So it's an out and out lie. You know, we have volunteers across the state that are talking to these petition gatherers and asking them specific questions. They're not offering to show the language of the amendment, and they're lying about what it says and lying about what it does.
We're talking with Pam Fichter again, a long time experienced leader in the pro-life movement and seen a lot of this. She mentioned, we often call the Missouri miracle, that Missouri led the nation in getting to be an abortion-free state. Of course, we know the tragedy that across the river in, say, St. Louis, there's abortion happening. So it's not like it goes away. But the money on the other side of this is out, and they're spending their money. They're distracting citizens. So the approach, decline to sign, is the phrase. It's a good phrase. It rhymes, which helps. Decline to sign is the movement. How are you finding, in the face of millions and millions of dollars, Planned Parenthood money and others, that it's going? Are people figuring it out? Are you comfortable? What's your feeling? Are you feeling, you know, oh no, we're being outspent and outplayed here? How do you feel about it?
Well, I would say that we are moderately confident. We are showing an opposition. We have county coordinators in all 114 counties. Missouri Right to Life has a tip line where when people see a petition gather, we call them the clipboarders. They call our tip line and we alert our volunteers in that area to go to that location, to stand there with decline to sign, posters and information. And just trying to provide the truth about what's really happening. We also contact property managers to let them know that these people are there. And, in many cases, they're harassing their customers. And we also are doing massive text messaging and targeted messaging to people throughout Missouri to also tell them the dangers of turning over your name and address to these people, because you're basically giving your name and address, contact information to Planned Parenthood, to ACLU, to all of the radical extremists when you sign this petition. So we're trying to get that message out to people. And I don't, you know, until they've either you turn in their signatures or not, we won't know truly how successful we are. But we have seen that we're making an impact. And they're really resisting what we're doing and trying to counter it, which tells us we must be over the target.
Yeah, yeah. And we're talking with Pam Fichter again, a longtime activist and leader on pro-life issues, now the Eastern Region Chairman of Missouri Right to Life. MissouriLifePAC.org is the best website to understand what's going on. Is that fair?
Yes, absolutely. All of our materials are there. We have the actual ballot language of the amendment that people can see. We have our analysis of that. We have directions for people who have signed, and now that they know the truth, want their name taken off the petition. We have specific directions on how people can remove their name. So we have the decline to sign and the remove my name campaign going on right now. So we're trying to promote both of those.
Pam, Missouri has become a red state. I mean, you know, Trump won it by a lot, but even down ballot from Trump, you know, Senator Roy Blunt won re-election a few years ago, and Josh Hawley are the Republican leaders in office understanding what's at stake? Are they helping? Are you, what is your, I think sometimes you and I have for a long time have said, we got Republicans who say, they're on board and then they do less than they should. So how are you feeling about in terms of the support from so-called conservatives who are, in this case are Republicans, since it's a Republican state? I don't think anybody thinks you're going to have a Democrat governor, or I don't think Hawley is going to have much of a fight. I mean, he's got a fight, but I think he'll win. What do you feeling from the Republicans or the leadership that should be helping?
Well, the Missouri legislature right now is considering some very important issues that would impact this. And one of the main things is initiative petition reform that would make it harder to change the Constitution in Missouri, which is currently just a simple majority. And we believe that all the voices in Missouri should be heard. So what we're supporting is an effort to also require a majority in 6 out of 8 congressional districts. It's kind of like having an electoral college system, because right now out-of-state money can come in and buy up the in St. Louis and Kansas City. So we're not sure if that's going to pass or not. But Ed, you know, from your experience working with Republicans in the legislature, they don't always move at the pace that we want. And, far too often they disappoint.
Yeah.
We're working really hard with a lot of the members of the Senate and the House. And, we just keep working and praying and hoping they'll come through. But we have been disappointed numerous times in the past. We're just hoping that
we'll leave it at that. All right, Pam Fichter, again, I'll make sure that people know Pam Fichter, a longtime pro-life leader. In this case, we're talking about the decline to sign is such a good phrase. Go to MissouriLifePack.org, MissouriLifePack.org. You can go through there, and I'll put links up and find out more information. Pam's got a good letter to the editor that she published, in the last week or two that summarizes things, and we'll use that language too. So again, I think, by the way, this goes on the ballot. If they do this, it goes on the ballot in November, or are they trying to do this in August?
Well, there's some discussion about that. It's going to depend on the governor. The pressure he gets, because there's some talk from some Republicans that they'd like it on in August. But, we have open primaries in August. We've got some primary races that could really be impacted negatively by that.
Yeah.
So there's some real concern if they put it in on August. Mm. But that's going to be up to our Republican governor, who's not running again, and also to the Republican leadership as to where this goes.
Okay. Well, we'll watch that one. That's going to be a big point too. All right. Thank you, as always, for being out there, Pam Fichter, and being fearless and speaking the truth. We're out of time, unfortunately. I got to go, but I'll put links to all this on our website. It's important. The Missouri Miracle. You don't want that reversed. So Decline to Sign and other efforts to highlight exactly what's going on. We'll take a break and be right back. It's Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Back in a moment. Welcome back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. I was talking last week about this book that I've been reading. It's called Arabella, The Dark Money Network of Leftist Billionaires Secretly Transforming America. The book title is a complete lie because it's no longer a secret, because our guest, Scott Walter, is the president over at the Capital Research Center. He worked in the high levels at the George W. Bush administration on policy and other issues, and he's been actively working at the Capital Research Center for years now, digging into what is actually going on. Molly Hemingway has a blurb on the front of the book, which is about as good a recommendation. Molly Hemingway's her book Rigged, and many other things she's done, has been extraordinary digging into these issues. But this new book, Arabella, it's fascinating. So welcome, Scott Walter. How are you, sir?
Great. Good to be with you, Ed.
Good to be with you. So first of all, how do you choose? You do a lot of research. Capital Research Center, you go there, there's lots of research. How do you decide to turn this research into a book? What got you here?
Sure. I think that the two biggest factors are, one, Arabella is gigantic, billions of dollars every election cycle. And the second is nobody knows about it. They know about George Soros. They've heard of Mark Zuckerberg. Most people have not heard of Arabella, and they need to know.
Arabella Advisors is the legal name, I guess. Who is it? Who is it? What is it? And let me say a starting point. How'd you find it? How'd you know to look? I mean, I know that's part of what your job is, but how'd you find it and what is it?
Well, we first discovered it in Kavanaugh summer. Brett Kavanaugh fight was on because a new group called Demand Justice was heavily involved in that fight. And as we dug into Demand Justice, we discovered it didn't really exist. It was just a fiscally sponsored project of something called the 1630 Fund. Now, the 1630 Fund had a tiny bit of press coverage because it was becoming such a big 501c4 political nonprofit. But nobody had figured out that 1630 Fund was just one of multiple half a dozen nonprofits all run by something called Arabella Advisors, which is a for-profit firm, what we call a beltway bandit in D.C. So that is how we stumbled onto Arabella. And the simplest way to put it is Arabella Advisors is a for-profit consulting firm that created half a dozen nonprofits. And then those half dozen nonprofits in turn have created hundreds of pop-up groups, which are what the public sees, whether it's Demand Justice, calling for court packing or attacking a judicial nominee like Brett Kavanaugh, or Floridians for a Fair Shake, or Secure Michigan Elections, etc.
Great names. Our guest is Scott Walter, again, Capital Research Center president, and his book is called Arabella, The Dark Money Network of Leftist Billionaires Secretly Transforming America. It's extraordinary. By the way, chapter two, I'm playing dumb a little bit to interview you, but it is, by the way, these are Encounter Books. This is published by Encounter Books, just out the last few weeks. But I'm playing dumb a little bit. Chapter two explains exactly who Arabella Advisors are, and people need to get the book and read through this, because you'll suddenly understand the who behind it. But Scott, when you looked at this, again, you're not a novice. You're someone who's been a keen observer and in some sense a participant in you know, the policy battles of the last 25 years. Is this the fruit of the so-called dark money revolution? Is this what happens when Citizens United is decided and you can move money like this? Is this something different? Is this what Acorn was doing when they were setting up these string of nonprofits to do, you know, money transfers? Is this a progression, or is this an innovation, or is this more of the same?
I think best way to break that down would be to say it absolutely is not simply a creature of Citizens United. Citizens United only affected, for political purposes, Citizens United decision was in 2010 and only affected 501c4 groups. Arabella actually has far more money in 501c3 charities, quote unquote, than the C4s that it has. Second, Arabella started in 2005, 5 years before Citizens United is even decided.
Gotcha.
So the thing to understand, though, there was something else created in 2005, and that was George Soros's donor cabal called the Democracy Alliance, which is roughly 100 billionaires, centimillionaires on the left. And the reason that was started was because he and the other founder, Peter Lewis of Progressive Insurance, left-wing billionaires, they each put 10.
Welcome back, Ed Martin, Pro America Report. We were talking with Scott Walter. We had a glitch there, and he was telling us the shift that took place in 2005 when a bunch of money moved in from the Soros efforts. So, Scott, I'm sorry about the glitch, but please continue. It's an important point.
Sure. 2005, half a decade before Citizens United, you have a big change. George Soros and another lefty billionaire, Peter Lewis of Progressive Insurance, they create something called the Democracy Alliance,
right,
which is a cabal of about 100 billionaires and centimillionaires. And the reason they created it was because in 2004, both those billionaires had put tens of millions of dollars into the Democratic Party in hopes of
winning the presidency,
George W. Bush's reelection.
Right.
When that failed, they were angry, and they listened to a guy who told them, don't waste your money in the party. It's the nonprofit world where the action is. That's where your money ought to go. So there's been this huge shift. Now, Arabella, as it turns out, by coincidence, was started the same year, although they were not connected. They and the Democracy Alliance were not then connected. Over time, they have become deeply connected because Arabella is so big and important to the left that, of course, Soros is giving it money, and so is Zuckerberg and Gates and Buffett and on and on.
Scott Walter, again, is our guest. His book, Arabella, is available from Encounter Books. You need to get it and fill in these gaps that we're covering so quickly. But it's so interesting, the book. I have to say congratulations on that, Scott. And again, he's the president of the Capital Research Center. Scott, you know, 04, 05, this starts to develop. They're using the C3s. 5 or 6 years later, it's the IRS and famously Lois Lerner that's targeting Tea Party groups. What would your best assessment be? Maybe you can't read minds, or maybe there's not a paper trail. They're looking the other way at the 501c3s and organizations that are founded that are in their own politics, I guess, right?
Yeah, one of the fascinating things nobody appreciates, the Lois Lerner scandal in the run-up to the 2012 election, almost all of the conservative groups that Lerner was refusing to allow to operate effectively, really. There were hundreds of them. Almost all of them were C4 groups, not C3 groups. And again, Arabella has C4s, but it also has C3s, and it puts a lot more money through its C3s.
So my point here is that the left knew what they were doing and when they were doing it, and they were, again, getting at least a look the other way from the government. So, Scott, again, you know, you're an observer at the highest level of this stuff and sophisticated in understanding. You read this book about all these different parts connecting. Have we lost complete control over the 501c3, the 501c4, these nonprofits? Is the system so corrupt? I mean, there was a period in, I think, the 50s when there was a Reese Committee and a Cox Report on looking at, I think, the Rockefeller Foundation and other foundations that they thought were sort of way afield of what should be done. Are we to that point? Because it does sweep underneath it a whole bunch of entities. You know, the NRA is basically being tied up in knots by the Attorney General because of their 501c4. C4, I guess, status, maybe C3 also. You're watching the targeting of entities by the lawfare, but is that system broken now completely, irrevocably?
Well, here's the complicated thing. On the one hand, there are a few particular things like voter registration that I would like the federal government just to say C3s can't do it, right? Because that's not charitable. Right. However, I don't at all want to say what we need is more enforcement by the IRS, because the brutal fact is the IRS always means Lois Lerner. There is right. You and I are not going to be running the IRS. Lois Lerner is going to be running it, whatever her name this afternoon happens to be.
Right. Well, listen, Scott Walter, unfortunately, the time flies, especially with our technical glitch. So I'm out of time. Thank you. We'll have you back again. The book again is Arabella, The Dark Money Network of Leftist Billionaires Secretly Transforming America. Scott Walter, the president of the Capital Research Center. He goes into it. It's down to the group names, the individuals. It's just up over 200 pages. Really worth reading. Encounter Books puts it out. Thank you for doing the book. And thanks for the time, Scott.
Great to be with you, Ed.
All right. We'll take a break, everybody, and I'll put links up on social media, both to Scott's work at the Capital Research Center, as well as over to Encounter Books for this book. And we'll be right back. Ed Martin, Pro America Report, back in a moment.
This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report, a daily commentary continuing the conservative pro-family legacy of Phyllis Schlafly. Now, the president of Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, Ed Martin.
The 20th century was marred by tyranny and bloodshed. Hitler, Stalin, and Mao all built terrible regimes responsible for the deaths of millions and millions. There's a lot we can learn by reading the histories of those regimes. History can tell us about the pitfalls of too much government power and too much faith in leaders. But we can also learn a lot from the dissenters and the resistors in those times. Those who stood up to these terrible regimes, standing by what is right no matter what the cost, they tell us a great deal about the importance of standing up to tyranny. Alexander Solzhenitsyn jumps out to many as a great example of standing up to tyranny and paying the price willingly. His story is detailed so powerfully in his book, The Gulag Archipelago. A lesser-known dissident is Joseph Cardinal Mincenti. The late Phyllis Schlafly, throughout her life, emphasized the importance of carrying Cardinal Mincenti's legacy into the future so that we all could learn from his bravery and virtue. Cardinal Mincenti was first imprisoned by the communists in 1919 for daring to speak the truth about communism itself. He was imprisoned by the Nazis in 1944 for opposing their policies, and again by the communists in 1948. Years later, when Cardinal Mincenti visited America, Phyllis Schlafly said that Cardinal Mincenti's presence in our country was living proof that one man can survive unblemished in soul and spirit despite every torture of the totalitarians. At age 82, and after 23 years in prison or confinement, Cardinal Mincenti still had the courage to speak out in righteous wrath against the communist tyranny. Tyranny has not been relegated to the dustbin of history. Tyranny, like the poor, will always be with us. The temptation towards tyranny is a tale as old as time for government leaders. That is why we have the Constitution, our safeguard against tyranny. But some factions seek to overcome the limits of our Constitution and institute tyranny once again. We must learn to resist, because capitulation comes at the cost of a pure heart and soul and the death of a nation.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. On college campuses and social media, in boardrooms and the public square, conservative voices are being silenced. What happened to free speech or to the First Amendment? At PhyllisSchlafly.com, we're still listening. So let us hear from you at PhyllisSchlafly.com. Thanks for joining us, and come back again next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Hey, welcome back to the Pro America Report. This is Ryan Hyde again, filling in, guest hosting here for Mr. Ed Martin today, and glad to be back with you to wrap up the show. What a good one. And I just wanted to come back in, and I got a couple of thoughts to offer. We always talk on this program about being informed, about going and finding out for yourself, following the facts. What is it? Ed's phrase, distrust and verify. That's a good motto in today's world, with a world full of fake news. We really are responsible more than ever for finding our own information and facts, for doing the legwork, for being citizen journalists, since the journalists aren't doing their job anymore. Now, make no mistake, there are still good resources. There are great places out there. We talk about them all the time. In fact, we have a lot of their folks on, people who write at American Greatness, folks who are over at the Epoch Times, Just the News, Newsmax. There are good places who are writing good stories, who are speaking the truth, who are finding real facts that aren't just the mainstream media, that are all driven by the same slavering narrative, pro-establishment, pro-machine, to support this regime that is currently in place, the Biden administration, the leftist move that we're seeing. There are good places. However, I would like to encourage you once again to consider a lot of the resources that we put together, because there are a lot of places that move fast and furious. It kind of gets lost every single day under the news cycle. There's just no way to help that. The news moves so fast that some of these places have to keep up with what's being talked about. And then there are a lot of fantastic organizations, but they advocate for just one thing, or they really have their one big issue and they talk about a few others. And I have no fault for any of these things. It's just pick and choose, each to its own. But there is a really neat legacy here at Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. And this is kind of what I wanted to bring up. There's a really cool legacy of not only going into several different topics. Phyllis has a huge legacy across the pro-family movement, the fight for life against abortion in America, the fight for traditional marriage, both legally and culturally, the fight for religious liberty, all of these different things. There's also this huge history of fighting for constitutionalism, for a sound judiciary, for responsible fiscal policies, for sovereignty-first border and immigration policies. Across all of the spectrum, there's just this wonderful wealth of fundamental conservative principles being applied across the field of issues that face us today. And even though Phyllis isn't with us anymore, she passed away in 2016, we still carry on that mission. And even though we don't claim to be right and to know exactly what to do on every single issue, all the jots and tittles, we want to have the conversations. And we have those conversations out loud for everyone to hear and to participate in. And there is an incredible wealth of knowledge. This program, the Pro America Report, is kind of a part of that. It's under the umbrella. Obviously, we're on the Salem Radio Network here, streaming out of San Diego, and it gets, Dopplered. I don't know if that's the correct word. It gets ported into several other places as well. You might be listening to this on the radio in St. Louis or down south, or you might just be listening online to the podcast. But nonetheless, this is one of those connected things, but there are several others. I am proud to be able to host a great live stream program on Thursdays, and I don't say that because of me. It's a great program. We talk about a lot of interesting stuff, and we actually talk. Mason, the co-producer of this program, he and I sit down every Thursday at noon on our live stream program called Unauthorized Caucus, and we talk about these things. We pick a topic or two, and we actually have out the conversation. People hop into the chat, and we talk about it. John and Andy Schlafly write a fantastic column film, and it laser focuses into an issue, brings in tons of historical concepts and perspective and context. That's not concepts, context. That's the word I was looking for. It pulls a lot of great stuff together each and every week. Every Tuesday night it comes out. You can go to PhilisSchlafly.com, and then it echoes across all kinds of places. WorldNet my goodness, I can't speak today. WorldNet Daily carries it. TownHall.com carries it. So many other fantastic places echo that column out into the world, and it just keeps going. There are great things that come from here. The Education Reporter, that's another one that's just absolutely incredible. Our Education Reporter editor, Sue Kunstman, just does an incredible amount of research, and there are wonderful articles that really hone in on the education issue, book review, all kinds of great stuff available every single month over at edreporter.org, edreporteronline.org. There is great stuff, and I can't even tell you how important it is to go and be educated, to go and just fill yourself and your own knowledge with context, with little things here and there that you can recall. You don't have to know everything all at once, but you need to know a little bit of the connectors to be able to critically think about things and plug it in and put things in their place and decide where we should or shouldn't as Americans land on these issues. Let me encourage you, go over to PhilisSchlafly.com, ProAmericaReport.com, where Ed does his writings. You'll find all the stuff again for this program, but also there is where you're going to find the Education Reporter. You're going to find John and Andy Schlafly's weekly column. You're going to find the Phyllis Schlafly Report monthly newsletter. You're going to find the Education Reporter, which has been out since 1986. There are so many incredible resources, and this is just the one organization that has a well-rounded view. Again, there's several others, and you'll hear us reference them and talk about them. I can't even stress to you, as much as Ed talks about and is absolutely correct, we must distrust and verify. Where do you go to verify? This is it. I'm making that pitch. I would love, and I'm appealing to you to do that. There are great programs as well here on the Salem Radio Network that you're going to hear from also that are going to talk about all these issues in long form, and we're going to flesh it out. And how does that connect? It is more important than ever before to not only be informed and to be consuming these kinds of sources and resources, but it is important to be having those conversations with family and friends, because we got a lot of people who I think at base agree with us on a lot of the issues, a lot of these things that really are common sense, not the fake common sense things, that political phrase that the Democrats like to use. Real, honest to goodness, logical, common sense things that are better for America and better for her people. That's what we need to be listening to, consuming, processing, and then talking about to other people who we know agree with us, but they are battered every day by the fake news narrative machine that we must beat back. So distrust and verify, but there are some places to go and verify. Thank you for being with us today on the Pro America Report. Thank you for being the wonderful listeners that you are, the great family we have here to talk to every single day. Thank you to Ed for being such a wonderful host, and Mason, my co-producer, for helping me keep everything running in the background. We appreciate you. We appreciate you being here. Don't forget, go to ProAmericaReport.com and Phyllis Schlafly. Grab today's show, share it with a friend, and we will look forward to seeing you back here tomorrow on the next edition of the Pro America Report.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.